Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Tess Morris, who wrote the romantic comedy Man Up, starring Lake Bell and Simon Pegg. So thank you, so great to talk to you. I love this movie so much. I love romantic comedies. I'm so upset that we don't have more. I'm so excited what you've done here. Yeah, it's amazing, and I was super happy. As soon as I saw the trailer, I said, I've got to see this movie. And what inspired you to write it? I read a little bit about this perhaps happening to you or a piece of the story happening to you. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it did actually, the premise of the film did actually happen to me in real life, but I didn't actually go on the date. So I was under the clock at Waterloo Station, and the guy came up to me and thought I was his blind date. And then he said, you know, Claire. And I said, no, not Claire. And then he walked off, and I just thought, what if I mean, I was single, and I thought, what if I had said yes?
What a great idea. I mean, it's so simple, and it just works.
I always think with the romantic comedies, you know, you want how your leads meet to make you laugh. That's always a good sign. And I just thought, that's a really funny, how did you meet? Oh, I stole his date from the clock at Waterloo Station. So that was the sort of beginnings of it. In terms of the sort of setup, but I also knew that I didn't really want to write a whole film where someone was pretending not to be someone else, you know, to kind of like drag it out for the whole hour and a half or whatever.
Well, it's great. Yeah. The way you do twist it.
So that was sort of part of the sort of, process of writing it, was how to sort of keep it over one night and how to keep it interesting. And because also on dates as well, you know, no one's really themselves, are they? So that was sort of my other sort of aim to portray.
Well, there was a couple very nice writing techniques that you used that I wanted to ask you how long it took you to come up with, or if those just naturally worked their way in. But one is the journal in the book. How long did it take you to come up with that necessary plot point so that they could sort of stay together past where they were angry?
Well, the journal was actually in it from the first draft, in terms of as a thing, because I write so many lists myself, and I write exactly those kinds of lists. And actually, I had Get Stronger Thighs on a list that I did about 4 years ago, and I remember thinking, I want the list to not be the traditional rom-com things, you know, like kind of, you know, like the sort of more cliched version. So I've obviously got Put Yourself Out There and Take Chances, but I've also got Cook More and Understand Israel-Palestinian Conflict, and sort of, you know, achievable goals. So I always had that as a sort of thing. And then I think what happened is, like, I kind of like wanted to make sure that everything, you want to make sure that everything is emotionally driven rather than, you know, entirely plot driven in a romantic comedy. So the obstacles that you're throwing in their way need to be far more emotional than they need to be the latter. But I definitely wanted to have some sort of screwball elements to things, and ways to keep them together, and ways to then sort of have some resonance towards the end when they see each other's lists. And also it's thematic, because, you know, these self-help books, I've read a lot, and some of them are brilliant and some of them are, you know, not brilliant. And I sort of wanted to sort of look at that and look at the fact that neither Jack or Nancy have read those books. You know, they haven't actually read 6 billion people in the fictional books that I invented. So I knew I wanted to sort of like have some fun things that could like move the story on, but in a believable fashion. It's sort of why, because, you know, they're getting drunk and they're doing these silly lists, and then they're the same journal. And you sometimes need to have, I think you can get away with it if you understand the character's motivations, you know? So when they realise that they've left his book and, you know, or her book rather, and his bag in the cantina, they're so furious with each other in that point, you know what I mean? They're angry. So it's kind of like driven by her sort of like, I'm going to get my book and then I'm going to leave and run away from you, and he's the same. So at that point, you don't know how on earth you're going to keep them together emotionally speaking, if that makes sense.
No, I thought it was amazing. And for writers, when you get to this point, you know, you make it look so easy, but I know it's very difficult for you. You have to have, it's delicate. You have to have that device to keep them together when they're angry, but it also needs to seem emotional. How many other ideas did you go through? I think a lot of writers, you know, you can get to this point in the script, which is maybe 40, 50 minutes, and you're just sitting there going, wow, these characters are cute. They have a lot of cute dialogue, but I need to make this a whole movie, which you've done so well.
Yeah, I mean,
can you just talk about, what's that process like? Do you brainstorm ideas on how it can work? Do you talk it out with someone else? Like, hey, what if it was a journal? What if it was a piece of clothing? Like, how does that work?
Well, I think what I do is, I remember with Man Up particularly, I had her tell him who she was actually at the midpoint. And I remember then I brought it forward to this. Basically, it's technically about half an hour to film. So if you're geek about page count, yes, it's the end of act one. But there are a few, I have like a few end of act ones. I have sort of the emotional drive of them actually staying on the date, but then also the reveal of her telling her who he is. My big thing with how I kind of approach it is, if I don't believe what the characters are doing, truthfully, you know, then I go back and I go back before until I get it right. So I can always tell in my own writing when I'm just trying to be funny, but there's no sort of like undercurrent of actual human truth to what they're doing. And particularly in Man Up, because it is a very heightened premise for a film. I think I just got myself into a position where every time I sort of, because you know, they're having a lot of fun. And then I remember laughing out loud when I wrote the scene. He's furious with her when she, because like she doesn't think he's going to be angry when she says to him, you know, I'm not your girl. You know, you can see it in Lake's face in the performance. You know, she's like, you know, I pretended to be your blind date. And I remember as I was writing it thinking, what's the funniest thing that could happen here? The funniest thing is that he is furious with her.
That's so good.
He's furious because he's like a 40-plus man who wants to date younger women, and he feels a bit, but also there's some human truth to it, because anyone would think, but that girl that I was supposed to meet, what if they were the love of my life? So I just kept trying to think about ways to make sure that they were being realistic but also funny, I think.
I just thought it was great, and I think it's really hard to, I think romantic comedies are one of the hardest things to write because you're writing about feelings and there isn't a big plot, you know.
But you also know the ending as well. Your audience are already one step ahead of you. So apart from, like, you know, it's obviously some brilliant films that they don't get together at the end by Annie Hall, but even that, you know, I would still love Annie Hall even if they did get together at the end. And it's a genre that you are presenting people with, saying, here's two people and now I'm going to give you an hour and a half of reasons why they should or shouldn't be together. They're probably going to end up together. I think it's one of the hardest genres to write in.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, you can knock your head against the wall because you want to do something fresh, but you're right. The anticipation's there that they get together and the audience wants that as well. How did you come up?
Yeah, and people are so dismissive of it as a genre as well. So you're battling people's preconceptions as well as your own.
It seems easy to write, but I challenge anyone out there to go and try to do it, and you'll just see how difficult it can be. And how did you come up with what I loved also about the backstories, and when you get into the second half of the movie and it's more emotional, how she's bitter and he's a romantic, which I thought was a really cool twist on what you would normally think that a man would be bitter and a woman would be a romantic, but I thought that was a great flip on what we would be expecting.
I mean, that comes from quite a lot of personal experience, I'm not going to lie. I am, you know, write who you know, as they say, not what you know. I like write who you know. And I know myself very well. And I am quite cynic. But I also desperately need romance in my life. So I think I sort of wanted to sort of have a woman who essentially had sort of lost her romantic confidence, if that makes sense. But also, the sort of theme of the film is that she needs to man up as well. You know, that's why I called it Man Up, because I wanted to make sure that it was clear that Nancy's journey, as well as Jack, was to just get out there and then see what happens. And worst case scenario, you have a really good fun night out with someone. That's sort of, you know, and you get your confidence back dating-wise. So it's just a bonus at the end that he runs to her for White Snake and then declares his adulation. But you know, he never says, I love you. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not suggesting that these two people fall in love. I'm suggesting that they have a brilliant night together and they both put themselves out there and manned up in their own way. And I think I also know quite a lot of 40-plus men who are living in dream worlds.
It's great.
Dating younger women.
Well, it was very clever how their backstories intertwined. And also, just to ask you another question about the one night idea, sort of the contained, as people would say, as executives would say in Hollywood, it's sort of a contained romantic comedy because it takes place in one evening. Was that something you always pictured from the very beginning?
Yeah, I mean, lots of people ask me about that. They're like, oh, it's so hard to write a film that is set over one night. And I'm like, no, it was that to me was like the thing that actually liberated me. I love a ticking clock in a film. Whether it's an actual clock or a metaphorical clock. And I found that it really helped me to sort of condense a relationship and show all of the highs and the lows within, you know, a short sort of time span. I mean, technically it's one night and a day because she goes on the date the night before, but obviously the bulk of the film is during the Saturday date. But I think it's really, I mean, I'm a big fan of In Search of a Midnight Kiss and Before Sunrise and all of, you know, I really like when you get to spend a condensed amount of time with two people and to really go there sort of emotionally. And I think sometimes that could be harder to do actually over a longer time span. I mean, the new one I'm writing is set over a month. And so maybe I'm a bit obsessive about giving myself these kinds of time constraints.
Are you continuing in the romantic comedy genre or is this another?
Yes, another rom-com. Yeah. So, and I'm constantly trying to sort of find ways to give myself some, because you know the best thing about structure is that you learn it and then you disregard it and then you learn it again and then you disregard it. You know what I mean? So you're constantly trying to sort of like look at your beats, make sure that you've got them in place, then find ways to tell them in a different kind of sort of story. So for me, when I can give myself like a month or 24 hours. It then helps me plot my story much better. I find it much easier. Maybe I'm a bit weird like that.
No, I think it's great for beginners. You know, anyone out there who wants to try this. And the fact that you have taken this genre by storm and come back and made this, you know, really super cute and adorable movie. What are your feelings on the fact that there aren't many romantic comedies anymore, like Harry Met Sally and all the ones that we had 15, 20 years ago? What is your feelings?
Yeah, what tends to happen is that there are romantic comedies, as in Silver Linings Playbook and As Good As It Gets. But the thing is, once they win awards, people forget that they're romantic comedies. it always makes me laugh. I'm like, oh, there hasn't been a good romantic comedy for years. I'm like, well, Silver Linings Playbook won a lot of Oscars and did absolute gangbusters at the box office. That is the most romantic comedy you will see ever. You know, Screwball-esque. Brilliant piece of cinema. I think that obviously there's been a bit of a lull. I always quote Billy Murnett here because he wrote this book called Writing the Romantic Comedy that I talk about in pretty much every interview I do because it's brilliant. And he basically is saying that, yes, in the late 90s, early noughties, there was a bit of a lull. But that was essentially because the studio sort of killed the golden goose and started to make exactly the template films that had been making money and just remake them again and again and again. But I think I think we're creeping back in, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years. I think there's been some great movies that are very much romantic comedies. And then there are also movies like Bridesmaids and Sideways that are also romantic comedies in terms of between two men and two women and structurally, and they make you laugh and they're romantic. And they to me hit those, you know, the beats that I need to have from the genre. So I think that if I see one more headline saying it's either dead or alive,
that's it. You've had it.
So much is out the window. Just sometimes, you know, ticking along.
Well, yes, and I agree. Well said. I think just being over here in Hollywood, it seems like everyone's a cynic about the romantic comedy, and I keep hearing that no one wants to read them or produce them. Was this tough to get made, or do you think maybe the British mentality is more open to it? Because your humor is just so funny and different from, you know, what you would say is typical American.
I mean, I very much wrote it I mean, I wrote it on spec. I wrote it, you know, I didn't get paid for it. I just did it myself, which obviously, in terms of screenwriting, is I can highly recommend it because it's a very liberating thing to do. But when I wrote it, I remember thinking, this will never get made. Like, and it was kind of last chance soon. I was about, it was, you know, I was 34 and I was 33 or something. I was thinking, well, if this doesn't work, I'll go back to, don't know what I'll do. I'll just do something else because I've been writing for such a long time at this point and hadn't quite had that actual turning point in my own life in terms of my career. And I remember when I finished it thinking, well, worst case scenario, I could shoot this for two people and a director really easily, because it's like, the first draft is obviously much more of a chamber piece in some ways, much more walkie-talkie, and then it opened out in subsequent drafts when it started to get sort of going. But I think that is sort of like why I did it, because I just thought, write something that is makeable and doable, but then also really I found my voice in this script, so... And that can take a really long time in life. And I think sometimes writers get very, very stressed about, oh, I should have done this or this. And actually, the only really way to write about life is to live life. And I think you have to, some of the better, you know, it's no surprise that some of the most successful writers are slightly older because they've lived a bit, you know, and they have a lot of things to say about life. And I think particularly in Man Up, I finally got to the point where I was like, okay, I know what I want to say about love and relationships and I know how to say it now. And I didn't have that ability in my 20s. So, I think you have to write the truth, and you can get so caught up in the rules and everything that you're supposed to do. And at the end of the day, write something that you want to see. You know, I wanted to see Man Up. I wanted to see it as a film.
I loved it.
I was missing the genre and missing... you know, the kind of fun night out that people should be allowed.
it was really fun. It was super cute. And that's great advice, I think, for beginners. It's, you know, sometimes you can get lost trying to find a voice and write what you should write or write what you want to write. But, well, congratulations.
You have to put yourself into everything that you write. I think if you're on a rewrite job or you're writing something that's not particularly your thing, you have to put yourself into it. Only way to not go mad.
You really do, because you can't, there's no way to get through the scene if you can't connect in some way.
No.
You have to.
No.
Well, thank you so much and congratulations. I'd love to talk to you for your next romantic comedy, and I'm a huge fan. I'm now you're writing these movies for me, so chop chop, get the
Brilliant.
Next one
Excellent.
Ready.
Very happy to do that.
Because I thought it was super
Brilliant.
Great.
Oh, well, nice to speak to you.
All right. Well, take care and have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye.